Greetings from India. I want to thank all of you. Thank your congregation for praying and supporting the work of Mid-India Church Partners here in India. You have now enabled us to work with 88 different evangelists and throughout India and Nepal. God has allowed us to plant 185 churches, church plants in different parts of India and Nepal, and have 153 preaching points now. So thank you for enabling us to do this. We also want to thank you for supporting and enabling us to keep these children from persecuted families. You know that these children have come and have faced some severe persecution, and their families, we were able to bring these kids here at the mission. They live with us 24/7 in safe environment. Now we have addition to this dorm where girls are shifted. So we are thankful you have enabled us to keep these kids here. They are shared the love of Christ here, and I'm grateful to you that it is wonderful to see their lives are being changed now, and how they are giving their lives to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So thank you very much, church, for supporting the work of Mid-India. We are thankful to you for your prayers and enabling us again to reach the people of this land for the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.
Thank you!
That was Vivert from India. Some of our team had the privilege of meeting Vivert in Texas, of all places. We didn't have to travel all the way to India just to meet him, but we met him in Texas, and we heard about his mission, and when we heard what they were doing and the dangers of what they were doing, this is a very persecuted country when it comes to Christian faith. You will be murdered for your faith. Your door will be kicked in. It's very much that way, and Vivert knows the goodness of Jesus Christ and the gospel, and he doesn't let that stop him. It's something that's kind of a far-off concept in our minds here in America, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We don't really get that. But that's one of the works that we support, and they are just planting churches and training up their own people. They're not sending expensive American missionaries to go over there. If you know what I'm talking about, it's an expense for an American missionary to go overseas and exist. They are doing it smart and training up their own people, because it doesn't cost their own people that much to live there. And so we are sending our dollars over there to help plant these churches with what we're doing, and it's awesome, and you guys are a part of that. Did you know that? Did you know that? So I want to read some thank you notes to you. Whitewater, I hope you know how much I appreciate you and your continuous support of our program, of our so very hardworking moms. Climb, Wyoming. You guys know your support goes to Climb Wyoming? Did you know that? I hope so. How about this one? Dear Whitewater Christian Church, your continued support of the Laramie Soup Kitchen and our mission means the world to us and our guests. Every day we provide hot, nutritious meals in a safe, welcoming space at no cost for all those that walk through our doors. This would not be possible without your support. From all of us, thank you. Sincerely, Amanda Johnston, Kitchen Assistant. Do you guys know we support the Laramie Soup Kitchen? How about the Downtown Clinic? You guys know we support the Downtown Clinic? Yeah, check this out. As Executive Director, I would like to personally thank you for making the Downtown Clinic possible. Your kindness supported the care described in the quote above, which I didn't read. You don't need to know it. All right? And the Downtown Clinic exists because of you. So you're probably catching a theme that everyone that we have done a Christmas concert, benefit concert for, becomes a part of our giving yearly, because we believe in it. We believe in what's going on in this community, and we believe that we can be a part better through helping these agencies instead of trying to create our own brand. Whitewater's Downtown Clinic. Doesn't that have a ring to it? Whitewater's Soup Kitchen, right? Whitewater's Interfaith. Whitewater's whatever. We started looking at these avenues 10, 11 years ago when we launched, and we said we should be doing these things, and then we find out in this city we have a lot of amazing entities. already doing what the city needs. And so we said, okay, we don't need our own brand. What we need to do is get in behind them and champion them and help them. A good question was asked of us from a good friend just a couple months ago, and they said, I see from our giving statement, if you've gotten one of those, we list all the agencies that we support and specifically their websites. I see by their giving statement that they are a lot of, I just totally lost, United Way. There are a lot of United Way organizations listed on there. Is it better to give to Whitewater to give to United Way organizations, or is it better to give to the United Way organizations themselves? And I said, well, here's the thing with that. A lot of these United Way organizations, they do not have church support. In the organizational sense, they may have individual support, but they're not seeing that stamp of Jesus through the organization of the church like Whitewater. That's where our name does come in handy a little bit. They started to see a church back them, and a lot of them that we talk to, they get together and they say, we don't have any churches supporting this. We don't have any churches on board with us. We had a great meeting with Safe Project, which is also another organization that we support. And they said, we don't get calls from churches like the calls that we get from you. We don't get the support from other churches that we get specifically through Whitewater. And we support financially, the day-to-day operations, monthly, and we support through helping these abused people move out of their abusive situations. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of scary, actually. Sometimes the abusers are actually in the homes that we're moving the abused out of. And fortunately, we haven't had any issues, but this is some of the ways we help. We also ask for other ways that we can help. What else besides these things that we can do? And they just marvel at an organization such as a church being so interested in the welfare of people. And that blows my mind because the church should be the ones that are interested in the welfare of people, yes? So I say all of these things to say thank you, Whitewater, for who you are and what you do financially here. Thank you. I don't know if you're catching what's happening right now, but we're talking about the heart of generosity. Specifically giving. Specifically our dollars. Now, if you're new here, this is your first Sunday, and you've always had it in your mind that churches always talk about money. Okay, great. Welcome. All right? I'm sorry that you showed up today. I'm sorry that you showed up today to hear about growing our heart of generosity, but I'm not. Okay? In the Barna study, the most recent Barna study, it shows that the following of all evangelical churches in America, and we would fall under that category. Let me read you some shocking stats, statistics. 23% of all evangelical people give $1,000 or more annually to the church. 23%, $1,000 or more. 23% give $1,000 or less to the church annually. Check this number out. 54% give zero to the church annually. I didn't hear any gasps. Because honestly, I don't know as we care about it that much. I'll let you sit in the silence with that one. Wallet Hub, in the latest 2019 Wallet Hub stats, and it has it shows the cities with the least sustainable credit card debt. A few years back, I checked on this, and in
we were, Laramie specifically, was in the 99th percentile for the highest credit card debt and the most amount of time that it takes to pay it off. 99%. Okay? It's not that we don't understand how to spend money. It's not that we don't understand how to give. It's not that we don't understand what money does, right? But it's dropped in the last few years. So in 2019, we are now in the 75th percentile. You guys are super excited, right? The city of Laramie, just the city of Laramie, with a median credit card debt of $2,480. Okay? That takes, the cost to pay that off, if you're just making the payments, is $940. Is what that costs you, and almost an extra $1,000. And it's going to take you 51 months and one day to pay that off, making the minimum payments on that. Okay? So it's not that we don't know how to spend money. It's not that we don't understand that, you know, I give you money, you give me things, right? We're good at spending money, according to this. We're good at giving our money. Just probably not so much here. Right? The cool thing about this is it's not just an isolated Whitewater thing. This is evangelical churches in America. And when I say cool, I mean it's not cool at all, right? We are a part of a whole. We are a part of a broken system. We are a part of a misunderstanding of what giving and the heart of generosity actually is. But we're not alone. Throughout Scripture, you read about giving. You read about the heart of generosity. You read about what was required by God. In the Old Testament, He required a tenth of everything that you had. God did. He put a system into place that everything that you had, He got a tenth of. Cattle, grain, whatever you had, He got a tenth of. Not only that, but then they had cash money. It was a little different than it was then and it is today, but that you would give cash money, and then you would have free will love offerings that you would just give freely to people. So at the very minimum, you were giving 10% of everything that you brought in. Well, we find out that that system was even broken in Malachi. Can I read it to you? In Malachi 3, 7 through 11, it says this, I am God. This was Moses speaking. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Moses was dead long before this, okay? This is God speaking. I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed, and because I haven't changed, you, the descendants of Jacob, haven't been destroyed. God made a promise to this nation. You see, time and time again, this nation turn against God. Time and time again, this nation do something that's contrary to this relationship God had with them. But He says, you know I'm God because you're still walking. You're still alive. You have a long history of ignoring my commands. Sound familiar to anybody? You haven't done a thing I've told you. And He says this, return to me so I can return to you, says the God of the angel armies. You ask, but how do we return? God's answer is beautiful. By being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. You ask, how do we rob you? The tithe and offering. That's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you are robbing me. Bring your full tithe, a full 10% of everything that's mine, right, into the temple treasury, so there will be ample provision in my temple. And then God says something that He doesn't say anywhere else. Test me. come at me, bro. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. This is the part where you guys get excited and think health and wealth is about to come out of my mouth, right? I give and then God gives me more? Yeah! God, how did we turn away from you? How have we robbed you? Your heart of generosity is way off, God says. You've robbed me by not giving. What does God do with our 10%? Does he need it? Why does he want it? What does it mean? I don't think God needs it at all. I don't believe that. I believe we need it to put our lives in check of who we are and who God is. From a very young age, I have been blessed. From the time I was making $1 a week, let me tell you when that was. That was 1985. I'm old. Don't let this hairline fool you. I'm really old. That's why the other day when I had it out, last two Sundays ago, you guys were all impressed. He's not balding. I fooled you. I tricked you. Okay. In 1985, I was making $1 a week, and I was scrimping and I was saving all of my pennies for a Nintendo NES. That thing came with two controllers. It came with a zapper. Not the orange one. These are the OG gray ones, two-tone gray, beautiful zappers. It came with a game cartridge that had Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, and Duck Hunt, all on the same cartridge. And the graphics, oh, the graphics, 8-bit of awesomeness. I got $1 a week. How many weeks would I need for a $99 game console? It was $99, too. That's a steal. Today, they're, what, $300, something stupid? Not stupid, kids. I understand that you love your games. And college students and grown adult children. Okay. 100 weeks. That doesn't include tax, right? 100 weeks of saving a dollar. 2 years of my existence to scrimp and save. But ever since I had gotten an allowance, my family, my mom and dad, he is a pastor, she is a pastor as well. I don't want to say pastor's wife because I think that just demeans. She is a wife of a pastor who pastors with her husband. Sound good? Ever since that time, they said, son, here is the heart of generosity. Here is the understanding that you and God need to have with your finances. You need to give a dime of that dollar every week to the church. And from that young age, 5 years old, it was ingrained in me. That's what life was. I started making money mowing lawns. Oh man, I was saving up for this sweet pair of rollerblades. I was that kid, okay? I wore biking shorts when they were popular back in the day with the, I mean, they might be coming back, I don't know. But I would save my money, but it was always understood that a tenth would go. I got a real job when I was 16, working at Safeway as a carryout. Coolest job in the world. No. And it was then my understanding that 10% of everything I had went to God. I got married to a pastor's wife. No, just kidding. To my wife, who is also a pastor, and pastors with me. Okay? And she grew up with the similar understanding because she also was a daughter of a pastor. And she had this concept from the Old Testament that 10% of what she made went to the church, went to God. We did a good job with our 10%. But ask us to give 11. Ask us to give 10.5. Ask us beyond where we were. Oh no. I gave already. I gave my 10%. That's all the Bible says. Those were the three verses we knew then. And I remember distinctly God calling us out of that into something beyond where we were in our young married lives. And it was a guy named Ed Sayer, and he had a wheelchair, and he needed wheelchair batteries. And I don't know why wheelchair batteries cost more than car batteries, but they do, okay? They do. And I remember the heart of generosity, God nudge and say, this is you. You go take care of this need. You guys don't have any children in the house. You guys don't have any. You guys are just making money, giving your 10%, doing what you're doing. You go get that battery for this guy. And so he spoke that first to my wife. She spoke that to me, and I said, what? Because I think it was in lieu of a Christmas gift for her. Hey, you want to know what to do for me for Christmas? And she knew that I would always be extravagant. Go buy that guy some wheelchair batteries. That's what I want. You sure you don't want that pair of UGG boots? Right? You sure you don't want that other pair of Spanx that you had your eye on? Just kidding. She's never worn Spanx to my knowledge. Right? Okay. That's me. That's what I wear to keep so slim and trim. Right? And God started nudging us in that direction. And we were faithful in that, and then he started nudging us more. A friend of mine gets out of prison, and he gets called into college, but Bible college. And he gets all the way, he gets approved, he gets everything he needs except for this, like, I think it was like $1,000 or something. And that was right before we moved up here, and we are begging people to support our work here and our ministry here. So all of this is pretty fresh within the last 15 years or so. And God says, you guys need to pave the way for that guy. My God, we're counting every dime we have so we can move and make it here and do things here. And I don't care. So we're faithful with that. And just those two acts of God calling us beyond where we were with this idea of 10%, that's all we got to give. That's all we've got to give. Started challenging our world and started challenging everything that we knew about our savings account, started challenging everything that we knew about our retirement, started challenging everything that we knew about how money works in our world specifically. And it's been an interesting trip. Dallas Willard says this, consumer Christianity is now normative. The consumer Christian is one who utilizes the grace of God for forgiveness and the services of the church for special occasions, but does not give his or her life and innermost thoughts and feelings and intentions over to the kingdom of the heavens. Such Christians are not inwardly transformed and not committed to it. Anybody just feel kind of a sting? What's interesting is God, when he shows up in Malachi and he starts telling these people they are robbing him. In what area, God? In our devotion to you? No, not necessarily. That's good. In how we respond and make the sacrifices to you? No, not in that. But with your giving, with your lack of generosity, you're not growing in that. You've backed away from that. You're keeping everything that you've got. Now, what's interesting about this topic of generosity is this is just one of the many spiritual disciplines that we talk about here. Did you know that? It's not more important or less important than any of the ones that we've mentioned thus far, right? Tithing is a spiritual discipline. It's like learning the habit of prayer is going to help you grow. Developing your prayer life with God, being intentional about meeting with God, speaking with God, having God actually speak into your world is going to help you grow. Learning the habit of studying God's Word, the Gospel, reading this, life-transforming letters and accounts of our Creator and our being His creation, who He says we are, how He says we are, what He calls us to, what He doesn't call us to. Right? That's going to help you grow. Learning the habit of being in community with one another. You're not free agents just roaming the world, all right? God calls you to live in community with one another. He calls you to help each other with their blind spots. He calls you to get outside of yourself and see others as He sees them, right? Learning the habit of community will help you grow. Learning the habit of fasting, you've heard us mention this a couple times. God only in your world. You give up food. Some of us are celebrating Lent, right? I don't know, do you call it celebrating? Some of us are engaging in Lent. My wife is doing it with her friend Emily, and my wife has given up, sweets, but not sugar, yeah? We had this conversation last night. I'm learning. I'm listening. I really am. Okay. She was eating an apple, and I said, you know, that's like earth candy, right? I slapped it out of her hand. I gave her a Triscuit cracker. Right? None of that happened, by the way. She would have killed me if that happened, right? Just like developing the habit of fasting will help you grow, developing the habit of solitude. Yes, you need community, but you need to get away with God. Just you and Him. Developing that time with one another will help you grow. Learning the habit of service. And some of us, we're really good at service, right? We'll go serve at anything. Some of us, we're like, I don't see the point of going and moving someone. I don't see the point of coming and serving 450 youth food at Winter Whitewash. I don't see the point of giving coffee and making coffee in the morning or helping teach children. I don't see it. It's going to help you grow. So much like tithing, this spiritual practice of giving, this massage in your heart to beat in time with God so that your heart of generosity just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. It's helping you learn how to grow. These people forgot that. We forget that. Neil stole some of my thunder earlier today because he read the Engage curriculum on what it means for giving. And I was like, well, that's like 10 minutes of what I was going to talk about. Right? But again, this act of tithing is not for God's benefit, it's for ours. To tithe is an act of worship. If you say Jesus is Lord, right, of my life, if you say that, I love me some Jesus, I'm following Jesus, then He's Lord of your time. He's Lord of your time. He's Lord of your relationships, community. He's Lord of your finances. Take any one of those away and you are not claiming Him as Lord. Oh, but Adam, come at me, bro, challenge it. We talk a big game. We act a big game. And then much like the people in Malachi, we forget or intentionally stop. He's Lord of all of these things. Tithing is actually a statement. And the statement it makes is one of gratitude. I'm grateful, God, for everything that you've given me. Everything that you've allowed me to have in my world. Now, what we tend to do is look at the things we have and say, well, but I don't have an iPhone 11. I don't have eyelash extensions. You're laughing, but it's, I don't have more tattoos or more guitars, right? Or the guitars I want, right? Or the clothing I want. Or, God, thank you. I wouldn't have anything without you. It's a statement of gratitude. It's a statement of priority. God, I'm going to put up or shut up. What I give in my heart of generosity, yeah, I want to make you priority. God, you've given me 100% of everything I've got, and you asked me for 10 of it, for my own benefit, for my own growth, for my own well-being. Not just for me, but for everybody else outside of me. God, I'm making you priority. And it's also a statement of faith. God, when I enter into this heart of generosity with you, when I enter into this understanding of what I make really isn't mine, God, and that you have plans for the things that I have that can bless other people, I trust you. I trust you with my 10%. I trust you. I trust that there's going to be enough left over for me. I trust that what you're going to do with the 90% will take care of me, my needs. It's a statement of gratitude, priority, and faith. And it actually goes along with our DNA, generosity, right? We live with an open hand, individually and collectively. We sacrifice, share our time, energy, possessions, and money with those inside and outside the church. Spirit-led biblical obedience. We regard Scripture as the foundation of truth and embrace the necessity of the Holy Spirit's guidance in understanding and living out these truths. When you read things like Malachi, and you just gloss over it because you're trying to get that check mark on your Bible app. There's some meat there. People, you've forgotten me. And it's all a part of our spiritual formation, how we operate, how we work these spiritual muscles out, how we encounter God through these things that build our heart of generosity. All of this stuff was within our DNA. Now, some of you might have the argument, Adam, the New Testament says absolutely nothing about tithing. You're 100% right. In Hebrews, it links the Old Testament and the New Testament. Remember when we talked about this mysterious priest king, Melchizedek? And it talked about when the king met Melchizedek, or Moses met Melchizedek, and all of a sudden Moses is genuflecting before this man, and we don't even know who this cat is, but all of a sudden Moses is giving him 10% of everything he's got. It was Moses, right? Abraham. Dang it, I knew it. When I was saying Moses, like, it's Abraham, stupid. Just call it out. They'll help you. Abraham is just giving him 10% of everything he had. You start seeing this biblical principle. Adam, that's not enough to stand on your right. Let's go to Acts 2. Check this out. The Holy Spirit lands on this group of people. 3,000 specifically were saved that day. They start taking Jesus seriously. They start looking at these heart things, this heart of generosity. God, what do you call us to? We want to do that. We're going to do that. And all of a sudden, community starts happening. All of a sudden, they start leaning into what the disciples' teachings are and to what God is speaking through these letters and everything else that's been going on. All of a sudden, they start seeing need. Not only need, they start selling their houses, their land, their property, so they could meet those needs. You're right. God doesn't call you to give 10%. He calls you to give everything. saying? I'm suggesting today that we start with 10. You're welcome. I'm suggesting today that we start with 10. My Aunt Judy, she was a self-made wild woman. Stood about 5 feet tall, always wore the reddest lipstick. Her teeth were stained with it. I'm like, come on, Judy. She always gave the biggest kisses, too, and she wanted your lips, but you'd always kind of turn last minute because you knew you would be wearing lipstick. And sure enough, every time, plant one right on you. And it was cool when you were with a group of guys. They're like, you've been with a lady? Oh, yeah. My Aunt Judy. What? Right? Right? She said this, you will never, ever, ever offend someone when you talk about giving who's already a giver. Never. Some of us have been blessed with lifetime of tithing. Some of us have been blessed with lifetime of understanding in small ways the heart of God, and then God begins to open the door for a greater understanding in this heart of generosity with what we are and who we are and what we claim is ours. Some of us have been blessed with that, and it's not even a question. It's not even a question. Some of us come here and we haven't figured that part out, and we've given absolutely nothing. Or we've given $1,000 or a little more, $1,000 or a little less, but 54% giving nothing to the church. That's a problem. So I'm suggesting, I triple dog dare you, I'm just starting big, that you start with 10. Watch what God does in your world. Watch what God does in your life and in your marriage and in your relationships with people as you start depending on Him. As you start understanding that this is actually a life of gratitude, as you start understanding that this is actually a life of putting God in priority, that you start understanding that this is a life of faith. Some of us come here today and we say, you know what? I've got everything down. Jesus, what do I need to be doing to follow you? And much like the rich young ruler that Jesus spoke with, he said, well, you got everything down. Cool. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, then come follow me. He, much like the people in Malachi, much like the 54% of us, right, or the 23%, didn't have this down, didn't have this figured out. And it's going to blow your mind what God does in and through you. Now, what this won't do is it won't make you just flush with cash, but it will make you reassess what you do with your cash. When I moved here, I agreed to come here for $30,000 a year, poverty salary, which I found out after I moved to Wyoming for a family of four. Okay? We tithe faithfully out of that. God called us at year three, to take that and cut it in half so another pastor on staff could actually make it with his family of six. $15,000 a year. Some of you live on that right now and you understand what I'm talking about. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we ever changed what we tithed out of our full salary. You know where the change came from? We were paying $150 for our cell phones. We were eating out like crazy. We were buying movies back when you bought DVDs, younger generation, okay? People come to our house and like, what is this? Oh, it's a library. Check it out. Right? It's a digital library. Right? We started making sacrifices and cuts in all of these different areas, but we said, God, no, you're not going to get, we're not going to rob you because we've seen what you do with what we give. We've seen the lives changed with how we respond. But it started with 10, and it grew into everything. So when people tell me, Adam, you don't know what I make. I make too little to tithe. Yeah, I did too. I make too little to give. Yeah, me too. And it's a lie. You're lying to yourself. The beauty of it here is you're never going to have a strong arm you. You're never going to have us ask you what you make. There are churches that do. There are churches that you have to fill out this information, and they say, then you owe us X. What we are going to do is make you look God eye to eye and say, God, do I reflect your heart of generosity? We currently support church planting here in America through Northern Plains Evangelistic Association. They plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. We give money to them every month. We promote Mid India that you just saw. We give money every month. We give money to Zimzam Global. They plant churches in Africa specifically for, like, they target children because they know if they get the children, they're going to get the families. And they are planting churches that change the world there. Hope International. It provides discipleship training, but they do it through microloans. And so we are bettering people through Hope International with these dollars that we have vested there that just keep rolling over so people can actually make money to live, eat, clothe themselves. We do it through Interfaith. They have a local food pantry, an emergency shelter, transportation, housing, unemployment. They help with everything. I interned with them this summer, and I can't even tell you all the good that they do. And I work directly in client services, so I know the stress and the pressure that they're under to do what they're doing and the heart that they have for that. Laramie Soup Kitchen, same thing. We are feeding people every day with what we give. Downtown Clinic, we are helping people get well, healthy, mental health, all of these things with what you give. Safe Project, we are helping protect individuals from abusive relationships with what we give. Climb Wyoming, we are helping better single moms get job training so that they don't have to work two or three jobs so that they can actually be a mother as well as a provider. Table in the Wilderness. It's a Jesus camp outside of Centennial. They are bringing in people and camps from all over the country. And they're doing incredible work. We support that. We support Neil, who you were just up here watching. He is here with NAVS. And we believe in what NAVS is doing, and we believe in what Neil is doing. And Abby, you're not a pastor's wife, you're a pastor. Okay? And that's with 54% of us sandbagging it. Missing a heart of generosity. That's with 23% of us sandbagging it. That's with 23% of us understanding it. So I ask you, whether you're new here, whether you're old here, are you able to look God in the eye with your heart of generosity? And if not, my challenge is God's challenge. Start with 10%. A dime of every dollar. It's going to be crazy what would happen here. We always talk about 80% of our people actually getting it here in our God dream. 80% of our people just taking God seriously, running full steam ahead. Even if 80% of us started giving 10, oh, money would just be stupid here. It would be a non-issue. There would be no issue. The ministry that we could do and expand and love people and train other people in the heart of generosity would be unreal. Our reach would be so far if we just took God seriously in this. Because make no mistake, it does take dollars. I have a rent check sitting on my desk. We used to pay $3,000 a loan in rent when we were over on 4th and Reynolds and we had our own space and we built it out. Here, we pay a little over $1,400 a month for this space, the gym, the children's area, the office space that we have to meet in. And people say, are you ever going to build a building? No, we haven't filled this place yet. We haven't filled this place yet. But we sign long-term leases because what we see is God providing every need that we have here. Again, not our wants. He's got our needs covered here. And we said, why would we pay $3,000 somewhere else and waste kingdom resources when our needs could be met here? We're trying to be good stewards of everything that's been brought in here. But imagine what God's going to do if you let him have a hold of your heart and it starts beating in time with his and you gain that heart of generosity. That's my challenge to you folks. That's God's challenge to you today. Look him in the eye and let's move together so that we can move the world two steps closer to Jesus. Father, this stuff is never fun to talk about from the stage. This stuff is never easy to talk about from the stage. This stuff puts us at war with us and you, puts us at war within our own hearts and our own minds of whether we buy this or not. But God, my cry for our people, your people here today, is that they are able to look you in the eye this morning and ask that question. God, does our heart of generosity reflect yours? And Father, I pray if the answer is no, that you give them the courage today to step out and begin with 10%. And let you start working in that and massaging in that and moving in that. That they would see the value of what you are doing with just that. And God, as they grow into the 100%, and as they grow into watching you just be Lord of all in their world, God, that beautiful moment, I pray for that for us. God, not so that we can go build a building or have a new motorcycle as staff or anything like that, God, but just that we would take you seriously, that we would see you rightly, and that we would love accordingly. God, it's in your name we pray, and everyone said. We got some folks up here to pray with you. We got Cindy and we got April. If there's anything on your heart that you need prayer for, come hang out with them. They would love to pray with you. There's other people here in this place that will pray with you as well. Youth, Sherry is up here. And the other youth are right down here. And you guys, what animal is it that we're putting money into now? A cow. I don't recommend doing this in real life to real animals, but this is one instance where you were able to give and help take care of Jason and Abner's needs as we've adopted children as well. So come be a part of that. And come back next week. I promise we won't be talking about giving. Peace.